From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. Over the next hour, we will discuss a topic of interest to persons who are blind or visually impaired. Now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Good evening. I am Paul Edwards from Miami, Florida, and welcome to tonight's edition of Tuesday Topics. And let me begin by reminding everybody that Tuesday Topics now does have an email address. The email address is TuesdayTopics, TuesdayTopics, @acbradio.org. We would certainly enjoy hearing from you. Let me thank our producer, Brian Charlson, who is currently snowed in Chicago. Good on you, Mr. Brian. I hope you're enjoying the Midwest. And Steve Bauer, our producer, recorder, and sometime host, is actually with us this evening and will be interacting some as the evening weareth on. Also like to thank George Byes of Talking Communities. I actually spent a bit of time over on another program that is running on ACB Mainstream this evening live. That's Main Menu. And one of the things that I said was that we're hopeful that George Byes will really try to get Talking Communities working to enable this program to function on the Mac, because more and more blind folks are actually getting involved in the Mac world, and there really is coming to be a real demand. So, George, we hope you'll get in the stick and make Talking Communities software accessible for Macs. We'd sure like that. Earlier this week, I put out an email indicating that what we thought we would talk about this evening were memorable Christmases past. I watched a marathon of Christmas movies with my stepdaughter, who is 11, this weekend, and it kind of put me in mind of some of the issues that people have to face when they are operating as blind folks and are approaching Christmas. And I thought it might be fun to have some discussion as to what some of the things that have made Christmas exciting in the past for some of us. So far, the numbers of folks who have arrived in our area have not been overwhelming. Steve is here and I'm here, and now our friend Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan has arrived. So there are actually three of us who are here. We're going to see how far this program logically goes, and we sort of made a decision that we're going to do a program, and when we have run out of what appears to be usable material, we will actually put the program mercifully to bed. And if there is some time left over in our allotted hour, we will fill it with exciting holiday fare produced and selected by the inimitable Steve Bauer. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. Christmases are perhaps not memorable to many, and I did try to make clear, by the way, in my message that I wasn't only interested in Christmases. I'd be perfectly happy to talk about Hanukkahs. I got into a long discussion. I got the only email, in fact, that I've received, and it didn't come to me via our list. Instead, it came to me as a private email, excoriating me for my misspelling of the word Hanukkah. So I very quickly looked it up and found that, in fact, there are three acceptable spellings of that particular word, and I had chosen one of them. Actually, the truth is my spell checker chose one of them, and I believed it. So there we are. Memorable holidays, and perhaps memorable holidays as they relate to folks who are blind. I know he probably thought I would do this, but I'm going to pick on Steve Bauer first and ask him to perhaps dredge from his past a particular Christmas, either as a child or as an adult, that he'd like to tell us something about.
Well, what I would like to do is a three-part deal here. One, I want to talk about a memorable Christmas. It happens to be from my childhood. I want to talk about Christmas shopping. Some memorable things there. And then another element of Christmas, which I'll let you wonder what that is going to be in a moment. the memorable Christmas that I'd like to share with you that I still remember so vividly, and considering that I'm now in the mid-50s, goes back to when I was in the third grade. That Christmas is probably the one I remember the most of all of the Christmases from growing up. And my mom always had this thing, and I don't know why she did it this way, but she did. You had to go eat breakfast before you could go open your presents. What I think the reality was is that while we were eating, my dad would always be late to breakfast. And it was his time to finish setting everything up. But nonetheless, after breakfast, my brother and sister, who are both younger, we all went running into the living room, and there was, by the tree, a small desk. It had one drawer and three shelves on the right-hand side. And it had my name on a big name tag so I could see it. And sitting on the desk was a brand new Perkins Brailler. Now, today, that little desk happens to still be actually in my mother's basement. I don't recall what she's using it for, but it is there. And the Perkins Braille writer that was sitting on that desk is still sitting on my desk right now, right next to me, and it's still there. And I think that's part of what helps me to continue to remember that Christmas from when I was in the third grade so long ago. Now, I want to move to Christmas shopping. That's always an interesting thing, I think, for a person who is blind or visually impaired. Over the years, I have called upon different people, whether it be my sister, or maybe it was one of my wife's friends, or a friend of mine. And sometimes those shopping experiences were very easy and enjoyable because the person was either very easy to be with and knew what to look for and was helpful and resourceful, and sometimes they weren't. In this modern day of internet and such, doing some shopping online has indeed proven to be very helpful, has proven to be very easy, has proven to be very rewarding. What I do today with Christmas shopping is my main shopping is for my wife. And thankfully, she does most of the shopping for the rest of the family members. But since my main shopping is for her, I will start right after Christmas. And I will just kind of keep my ears open. And if she makes a comment about liking something, and I'll make a note of it. And if it's something that I know I need to order before I forget about it or whatever, I will actually start doing online ordering in February or March and begin that Christmas shopping process. So I'll order over the year, or maybe I'll order two or three things for her. And that will probably leave one or two small items that I want to go to a store and actually make a purchase. Over the years, some of the fun things that have happened. I remember one time, and this happened to be when I was with one of my wife's friends. We were at a department store. I won't mention the name of it. It's irrelevant, though. And we went to the counter with whatever we had selected. And because I prefer not to shop with cash because it's just a pain, I gave the young clerk my little piece of plastic called a charge card. And she took the card and did whatever she did with it. And she says, I will also need to see your driver's license. And I said, well, they don't give blind people driver's licenses. She said, well, I'm sorry, I do need that form of identification. And again, I said, but I am blind. I don't have a driver's license. The poor girl was speechless. It was so ingrained in her to ask for a driver's license, she didn't know what to do. So I pulled out another form of identification, which is the photo ID that I have for my job, and she finally agreed to accept my card. And I thought we were going to have an altercation there. but generally, the clerks are very helpful. And, of course, the other point is that when I go into a store, I try to know exactly what I want. And this year, for example, I went shopping with a friend of mine. He came by and we went to two stores. We walked into the first one, went to the counter and said, where can we find this item? And she said, well, I happen to have one behind the counter here. I'll just let you have it. So we were out of there, went to the next store. And I'm not kidding you. I left my house at approximately 3 p.m. on that afternoon. I walk back into my house at 5 minutes till four. Add that to my online shopping, and I was finished. So it worked out really good. Okay, the third thing that I think is a lot of fun at Christmas time, and it's weird for me to even say this, because Christmas decorations mean virtually nothing to me as a totally blind person. I could care less whether there was a tree in the living room or not. But going out and looking at Christmas lights. Now, no, the lights mean nothing. But just the fun time of being with friends and family, driving around, hearing the people getting all excited about the Christmas lights and what they're seeing, and you know, stopping and maybe getting hot chocolate to drink or whatever the case may be, is a lot of fun. 5-6 years ago, I think it was, I had won some contest for something. I don't even remember what it was now, but there were three pieces of the prize, and one of the prizes was a 2-hour limo ride around to look at Christmas lights. So we piled in, you know, some relatives, my sister, my brother-in-law, my little niece, next door neighbor lady, and we did. We rode around and we stopped at the little liquor store and picked up some bubbly, and they had Christmas music on in the limo, and that was just such a cool night. It was just fun. This year, we did go out and look at Christmas lights one Saturday evening. There is one area, the whole block practically decorates every house, and it's very well known. It's not only lights, but it's audio, and they do quite a bit of stuff. And so we were sitting in the car waiting for my niece to come back, and my wife said, "There's a Christmas tree, and it's moving." And she watched it closer, and what it was a man that was dressed up as a Christmas tree. And apparently you could not see anything but shoes. That was the only giveaway. It had lights on it, decorations, and the whole bit. And he was walking up and down the street. And so when we got by him, we all, you know, yelled Merry Christmas. He didn't say anything, but he shook as to acknowledge it. He heard us. And that's the kind of thing that makes it fun. So remembering the third grade Christmas with the Perkins Braille Writer, Christmas shopping, the challenges and maybe ways to make that easier, and doing the Christmas light thing, all are things that make Christmas very special. So, there you go, Mr. Edwards. How's that for a start?
I think that's superb. I'm tempted to try a similar exercise. Maybe I won't, though. Let's give Gary a chance to jump in here in a little while. So, when I started thinking about memorable Christmases, there are a bunch of different kinds. In terms of childhood Christmases, I had some really mixed feelings about Christmas, because both of my parents were alcoholics, and a lot of times Christmas were occasions where, you know, they'd start out kind of cool, but by the time that the day was over, they could get pretty ugly and pretty nasty, because my mom in particular was not really a very fun person when she had too much to drink. And it didn't actually make Christmases as wonderful as they might have been. I remember one of that kind in particular when I was, I guess, 8. And in some respects it was the worst, because we'd spent huge amount of time decorating this tree with these absolutely wonderful ornaments. There were beautiful blown glass birds that had glass feathery tails, and as a blind kid, I just thought those were the neatest thing. And then my stepfather and a couple of his cronies thought pretty early on Christmas morning that the coolest thing in the world would be to see if they couldn't shoot down those birds. And so one of the things I remember about that particular Christmas was being absolutely in tears over the fact that these Christmas ornaments that people had worked so hard to make, and that I thought were just such wonderful examples of craftsmanship, were just being blown to smithereens by folks with pellet guns. The little Webley air pistols was the weapon of choice that Christmas. And the next Christmas is almost exactly the opposite. We didn't stay home. We went to a place called Banff, which is 80 miles north of Calgary, where we lived. and we had Christmas with bunches of people. The adults were still drunk, but there were bunches of kids, and all of us, I guess, were kind of dysfunctional together. And my memories of that Christmas were absolutely wonderful. Now, we shared beds, and there was one of the guys in the bed who was still a bedwetter, but that was okay. That didn't matter. The Christmas was just, it was very cool. I remember sledding down hills with really heavy snow. I remember standing outside of this lodge and walking up and down the road singing carols with bunches of folks, no traffic around, not a single car. So all you could hear was the wind blowing through the trees. And it was absolutely astounding, just quite astonishing. So those are two childhood Christmases, kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum. And they alternated like that all through my childhood. There were some that were even scarier than the first one. In fact, a lot scarier. And I'm not even going to talk about those. I guess the second kind of Christmas that I wanted to talk about for a minute was Christmases where you end up helping Santa Claus. And as a blind person, I remember that was always sort of tough for me, because there is a rule, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know how many of you have followed the lore of Christmas and understand how absolutely ironclad and iron fast this rule is, but that rule is that if you have a major Christmas present that requires assembly, something will go wrong. I was paranoid about assembling Christmas presents, and I'm sure my blindness had a lot to do with the fact that I was. And one of the things that I would do is I'd make a decision about which particular assembly present I was going to acquire, and I would actually go to the store where this thing was sold, and I would pour over the sample. I would feel every single rivet and every joint so that I understood this device. I knew how it went together. So when it came to the time for actually putting it together on Christmas Eve evening while sugar plum fairies danced through the heads of my kids, it was going to be easy to do. Well, it never seemed to work out that way. Either I misapprehended something or pieces that I knew just had to be there couldn't be found anywhere. Now, eventually, by 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, everything was together, and a very frazzled dad kind of went to bed for a short while and was ready to be awoken, well, probably by 7 or 7:15, with the expectation that Christmas always starts early. My last Christmas is the legal Christmas. In 1987, I was shopping for a negligee for Gail in a department store in a mall here in the Miami area. And I don't know about you guys who are blind, but if I am looking at an item of apparel that is intimate and feminine, I want a pretty good idea of what that's going to look like and what it's going to feel like. And so I was examining the merchandise, as it were. I was feeling various negligees in order to see if it met my sexometer's output appropriately, because if we are honest, guys will probably admit that we really don't buy negligees for our wives. We buy them for ourselves. We buy them for the way that we want them to feel. We buy them for the way that they make our wives look, and so on. Without spending huge amounts of time on this particular Christmas and on this particular event, what I can tell you is that the manager of the store came up and noticed what I was doing, and of course spoke to the person who I was with and said, "What's he doing?" And I responded and said, I'm looking at negligees. I really like some of these. I'm probably going to buy one." And she said, "But you're touching the merchandise." And I said, "Yes, I'm blind. This is the only way I can really figure out what this actually looks like and how I think my wife is going to like it and so on." And she says, "But you can't touch it." "Why?" "Because I said so. You can't touch it." And the bottom line, not to prolong this for huge amounts of time, was that the manager ended up calling the police and having me thrown out of the store. And in 1987, I had every expectation that the police, when they arrived, would essentially say to the store manager, come on, man, you can't do something like that. But they didn't. They actually said that a disabled person doesn't really have any civil rights in terms of doing shopping in a different way. And so my request to touch merchandise was unreasonable and inappropriate, and as a result, the store manager had every right to require the police to throw me out of the store. It was an interesting Christmas, one that I won't forget. I did get a negligee eventually, but certainly not from that store. And I since then have never bought another piece of merchandise at that store, and I think I probably won't. Well, Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan is here. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Paul. This is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. There were quite a few that were stand out in my memory. When I was about 6 years old, my grandparents were at our house. Of course, we had Christmases sometimes at our house, sometimes at Grandma's, and then at different places. But over the years, it's changed because the grandparents passed away. But we had something called a wire recorder, and we bought that, I think, somewhere around 47. Anyway, during the Christmas season, we were talking in the microphone of the wire, getting a kick out of it, and we used to do that. And then during that season, my grandparents did some recitations, reciting some prose or poetry or something, and my grandmother was, and then my grandfather sang, but she just recited the prose. But that was quite memorable in my mind. I don't know, it just I thought it was, well, what they said was awesome, you know, the way they recited the thing. But it was awesome that I was able to hear a recording of something that we made, you know, on a wire. That was before tape recorders and things like that. But anyway, that was that Christmas. But quite a few years later, I guess 19 or 20, my folks, my brothers were doing something. They thought they'd get a kick out of it, and I did too. It didn't really, that didn't bother me. They got something, and I opened it up, and it turned out to be a flashlight. And we thought that was quite funny, you know, because what would I do with a flashlight? But then one of my aunts thought that was a terrible thing for them to do to me, but we had a lot of fun with that. But going shopping for gifts and things, I've had to go with someone else to do it, because it's hard to do that by myself and know what people want or what people like. And we don't exchange gifts as much as we did years ago. I mean, family-wide, I mean, like my mother and I will give each other something, but I used to get stuff from my brothers and stuff, things like that. It's hard to know what people are going to like what you get them, and that's the thought behind it, of course. But then one of my brothers says that why get something and you can buy it anyway and stuff like that. You know, that's kind of the thing that he had to say about it. But that's just a difference of opinion. Doesn't really matter to me on that. That was quite something about some of these stores, you know, the way they operate, that you can't touch things. We could do a night on being able to touch a lot of the things. That was kind of one aspect of it there, and I haven't done much shopping online like Steve was saying. I bought things on the websites and called, but I've never done any shopping online for Christmas goods as yet. But if there's anything my mother can think of, usually I usually think of that, and then maybe during the holidays week, I get that for her. And then one time we were shopping over at the mall, and then she got me my Christmas present early, but it was a new winter coat, so that was pretty good. Sometimes we do it that way because she isn't able to get out quite like she used to, and sometimes I'll get a present late, like I got a weather radio for Christmas one year. I used to get a kick out of that when I was a kid, you know, these wind-up toys, you know, you wind up and see how far they'll go, you know, and just play with them for a while till you get tired of them. anyway, that's one of mine. Quite a few things to touch on, I guess.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you are listening to Tuesday Topics. If you have comments about the show or a suggestion of a topic you would like to have discussed, send a message to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. Once again, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
There's another thing that I've thought of. I remember one Christmas, and I guess I was 9 or 10, and I actually got a Braille book for Christmas, and it was my very own book, and I think that really impressed me. Now, it was a book I didn't love. It was called The Blind Colt. It was about a little horse in a box canyon in Wyoming, I think. At least that's my memory of 50 years ago. And I didn't love the book. I read it from cover to cover several times because I was a pretty avid reader. And I always remember being jealous of other people who were getting books at Christmas and who could get all these cool books that I'd wanted to read and that everybody was reading, and I couldn't get them. And one of the things that I was always told was how expensive Braille books are and how, therefore, impossible it was that anybody should be expected to acquire books for you. But I think it did have an impact on me. I think it may be responsible for what many people would describe as my fixation with scanning. So, Mr. Bauer, any other thoughts?
Christmas and weather. Now, personally, I don't have a problem with snow, as long as I don't have to get out in it. But we have had some Christmases that I can recall when snow has made traveling to grandma's or wherever challenging. Now, fortunately, both families were here in town, so getting on the highway and traveling was not ever an issue. But I recall two Christmases in particular. One was when my father was very ill with cancer and not able to really get out and do much. And we had major snow and, in fact, extreme cold temperatures. Many records were set. It was in 1984. Many, many records were set for coldest days and coldest nights and coldest high temperature, that type of thing. But it was a real challenge to get from our house across town to my parents' house, and my wife was extremely concerned about driving, and it took considerable coaxing and urging her that we needed to go and to get her to go over there. One other year, it was probably about 3 or 4 years after that, we went to Mass on Christmas morning, and it was pretty cold out, but not much going on. But while we were in church, it began snowing, and by the time we got out of church, there was probably a good inch on the ground, and it was really coming down hard. Wound up getting about 3 inches of snow out of that little thing. And again, the commute across town to my parents' house was challenging. And so they may sing about wanting a white Christmas and dreaming of it, but frankly, I just soon not have it. Let it come on New Year's, when I like to stay at home and listen to the police scanner and not have to worry about all the idiots out on the street on amateur night. So let it snow on New Year's weekend. That's what I want to sing for.
I was going to ask you if the snow, snow doesn't put you in the mind for Christmas, but I guess I got my answer. But it seems like most people look at Christmas and they think that snow puts them in a Christmassy mood, I think.
I don't think for me snow puts me in a Christmassy mood. I like it when it's colder on Christmas. I've never really gotten used to Christmases in Miami at 85 degrees and being able to eat out on the patio. And some of the most memorable Christmases that I've had as an adult, and many of the nicer Christmases I've had, I think I've had as an adult, have been spent not here, but either in Ohio with Gail's family or out in central Washington. And what I guess both had in common was they were places where Christmas was valued and revered, and where it was seen as something that one celebrated and that one used to share one's feelings for others, and where you sometimes had lots and lots of hard work to do. But the end result of that hard work was a really nice time, and an opportunity to share family and fellowship. And I guess that was a tough lesson for a kid who had a pretty tough childhood to come to terms with. So I guess I'm a somewhat recent convert to Christmas and other holidays. I now really think that that they're kind of neat. This year I've done terribly when it comes to Christmas. I have all my shopping still to do, and time rapidly flying by. But I guess I will accomplish it. It will get done. Everything will work out fine. We have a tree in our living room that we all worked to get up there. It's a live tree, and the smell of the tree pervades the house. It's like a memory of Christmas that will stay with me, I think, always. The smell of Christmas trees, the smell of a turkey cooking. In the old days, when I was closer to a British tradition, the smell of a plum pudding or a Christmas pudding, and the smell of a hard sauce that goes along with that Christmas pudding are all things that I kind of remember. So it's been fun. Well, I am rapidly approaching saturation point. Gary, let me see if you have any final thoughts you'd like to share, and we will pass it back to Steve, and then we'll wind things down.
Well, yeah, well, 1 year back in 82, it was 65 degrees, so we all enjoyed that. But the thing about Christmas is I like the fun and, you know, family relationships and fellowship, and I really enjoy that part of Christmas, and I think I miss it when we don't have that, when if something happens where we can't really get together like we do, I kind of miss those times. And then I miss the times with people that aren't here anymore because they passed away and things of that nature. But that was what, to me, I thought Christmas was pretty much all about, you know, getting together and, you know, presents if people wanted to do that. You know, just the family get-togethers, and I don't know whether snow really matters on that. But one thing about the Braille books, I got one of the Bibles, the King James Version of the Old and New Testament back when I was 13, and that was, those were huge. There were 18 books, big books, but I really enjoy the Christmas celebration with friends and family, so I think that probably covers what I think.
One of the things that still continues to be something that I really appreciate on Christmas Day is a little thing that my mother does. During the time when I learned Braille, which was actually during the second grade, my mother also learned Braille and became a certified Braille transcriptionist. Now, she didn't get into transcribing books and major things. She wanted to be able to do the things that I needed to help me in school. And one thing that she does today, and she actually does it on a slate and stylus, is she makes Braille tags for the packages so that when, you know, they're given to me, I know who they're from right away. And, of course, I never throw them away. I always save them and stack them on the table so she can reuse them again. But that's a neat little thing that I always really like and do really appreciate, and she knows that. One other thing that happened this year, which was a bit unusual, is that the radio station where I do the Sunday Jazz Show on, every year they have a holiday reception for all of the clients, the advertisers. And although I have been associated with this station now for, 4 years, I never really felt that that event was something that I should attend, you know, just being a guy that was just on the air on Sunday morning. You know. But this year they made a special effort and invited me, and there's a guy that does a blues show, same time my show's on one of the other stations, and they wanted to make sure that we both were there, and it was pretty obvious that they really did want us. So he gave me a ride. Fortunately, he lives just down the street, so he gave me a ride, and I must admit, I was introduced to so many people I couldn't even begin to tell you how many people, nor will I remember their names or what company they were with, but it gave me an opportunity to talk about my show. I even met some employees that I didn't know before. But it was an interesting experience, and I didn't feel anybody, I'll say it this way. I didn't feel that people I was introduced with and talked to had an issue or a problem with the fact that I was blind. A couple asked very basic questions, but not much. Most people just accepted it, and that was good. I came away feeling very good. The one thing that I personally abide by at an event like that is after one or two glasses of wine or one or two beers, then it's always off to a carbonated cola product, if you will, because that's the last thing you want to do in a situation like that is, shall we say, drink a wee bit too much, and then that's what they remember, that blind guy that was drunk. So I always make a very strong point of stopping after one or two, never any more than that. So I think that it was important that kind of behavior is done, because you don't want them to remember that about you. You want them to remember you for your work and what you're doing, not the fact that you were drunk.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have managed to speak enough about Christmases. If we add them all up, I know I've spent Christmas in, five or six countries, in the U.S., in Canada, in Jamaica, in Trinidad, and, so I guess it's only four. And in all of those countries, there are traditions that are different. And in each of those countries, Christmas is celebrated in a different way. There are different things which come to the forefront. In Trinidad, there is a kind of a national exercise that happens at Christmas called Parang. And that involves groups of musicians, usually with a ukulele player, often in Spanish, sometimes in Creole, who go around singing Christmas songs in exchange for a couple of shots of rum punch, or what was called in Trinidad punch a cran, which is a kind of a cream rum punch, which is always drunk. In Jamaica, the drink that everyone drank at Christmas time was a drink called sorrel, and it was made from some small berries from a tree. In Canada, Christmas was much more of a British kind of holiday than it is in this country. When you had Christmas dinner, you'd often have Christmas crackers in front of your place with the expectation that you'd break the crackers and put on a paper hat and look at the favor that was sometimes to be found inside your Christmas cracker. And of course, in the United States, we have large numbers of Christmas traditions as well, though we sometimes, I think, perhaps take them for granted. Our turkey, perhaps watching football, perhaps singing carols, perhaps standing by Christmas stockings, perhaps looking at presents, finding that particular point in the Christmas season where the family gets together and opens presents. Clearly blind people can and do participate fully in Christmas, but clearly there are also things about Christmas that blind people experience in a different and sometimes interesting and exciting way. I hope that some of what we've talked about has given you an opportunity to look inward at your own Christmas. How do you spend it? What do you value? How do you see Christmas impacting you? And what do you expect of yourself on Christmas, and what do you expect of others? How can all of us make Christmas more like what it was intended to be, a time to celebrate the birth of a baby, a time to celebrate opportunities for growing, and all of the other holidays that are celebrated around the same time, whether they're Jewish holidays or Muslim holidays, and I remember both Muslim and Hindu holidays in December in Trinidad. It was one of the nice things about celebrating Christmas there. No matter what the holiday types are, they have this in common. They focus on what is good and kind and wonderful and giving about us, and ask us to do the same, and to look around not only at whoever we worship, but also at the people who live near us. Value them, love them, share with them. On behalf of Tuesday Topics, this is Paul Edwards, Steve Bauer, Gary Wood, and on behalf of Brian Charlson and George Fies, we'd all like to wish each and every one of you a happy and wonderful holiday, a bright and prosperous 2008.
And that's Tuesday Topics for this week. To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. The program is conducted in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer's sound card. A few minutes before each program begins, those who are online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer any questions you may have about the chatroom client. An announcement about the show, including the topic to be discussed, will be sent out early each week to the ACB Radio Friends List. So we hope you will come and join us each week on Tuesday, when Tuesday Topics is recorded. We'll look for you in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Tuesday Topics is a production of ACB Radio Mainstream.
Thank you.
always part of the holiday season are those great Christmas songs that we all know and love. And each year they bring back great memories.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. Getting small, I think of when I had none at all, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. I picture curly heads, and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. Blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings.
Saw mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. Then I saw mommy tickle Santa Claus underneath his beard so snowy white. Oh, what a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen mommy kissing Santa Claus last night.
We got a little secret. Na 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 na.
snowy white.
Oh, what a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen Mommy
kissing Santa Claus last night.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Just care if it's in below, he's sitting by the fire's cozy glow. He don't care about the cold and the winds that blow. He just says, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow.
Why should he worry when he's nice and warm? His gal by his side and the lights turn low. He just says, let it snow, let it snow.
I don't care.
The weather outside is frightful, but that fire is delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought lots of corn for popping. The lights are way down low, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out of the storm. But if you'll only hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. Long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Season's greetings from ACB Radio Mainstream.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine.
Oh,
night. Divine, oh night, oh night, divine.
Say,